20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packer fans? Welcome into another Saturday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am, if you forgot, your host, Matt Fralick. Alongside me, the best partner of Pack-A-Day Podcast host history, for myself at least, co-host-wise, the OG, Janelle Mackey. Janelle, how are you, and how's your new apartment?
Well, that was quite the intro. I mean, way to hype me up. You know, it's like 10:30, we're recording this, but we're both exhausted, but you know, always appreciate being gassed up a little bit. Yeah, I currently, my computer is sitting on a box because I have yet, like, just, you know, busy with all the coaching and work and life, and I have not had time to completely unpack. But yes, I'm in a new place, so I'm very excited to finally, you know, once I get my office done, that's really the thing I'm most excited for. But it's just a matter of hanging up a bunch of stuff on the walls and actually getting stuff out of my boxes.
Makes sense. I hope this hits home for you. It might catch maybe a few dozen people through this podcast. You know, the picture of like when they like the meme that always goes viral every now and then on Twitter, it's like what guys think their house is set up like, or their apartment. It's like the lawn chair with like the phone charger. Like, that's how I envision Janelle Mackey's apartment is right now. It won't be like that for long, but it's like she'll get it how it's supposed to be. But
no, that's 100% how I feel. Like, I literally am sitting on the floor. My iMac is sitting on a box, and I have my microphone sitting on another box. So yeah, I'm kind of living that cliche, like, you know, guys, college apartment lifestyle.
Hey, it works.
I've got like one clean plate and call it good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so you can just pivot that a little bit on a positive spin. It's like a minimalist lifestyle. Like, you're easy going, nothing too crazy. Obviously, we got to address the fact that Eli's not with us tonight. He's got other things going on. And we've all taken a hiatus from Pack-A-Day Podcast, not intentionally, but just like things have came up. I blew a tire on my car last week trying to get home in time to do this. That didn't happen. We've been just super, super swamped with stuff going on. Probably the only other people besides Aaron Rodgers getting scrutiny for not showing up to OTAs would be the normal three Saturday Pack-A-Day Podcast human. So right now, Janelle, I don't know about you, but like, my timeline is absolutely dead when it comes to Packers Twitter. There's some stuff here and there of, you know, position battles, rookie camp. Andy's been pretty good keeping up with those, but it's to be expected, right? Right now we're in a time of like baseball's kind of taken over a little bit. NBA playoffs there. I know hockey's still up and running. I'm sure you'll get me up to speed by the end of this podcast at some capacity.
Yeah, as we're recording this, the Battle of Alberta is taking place. So
Yep. And I know exactly what that means. So we will definitely try to make this a little bit of a different podcast. We had this planned for a couple weeks, and it may not still be super relevant, but in my mind it is, because we got new faces from the draft class coming in. The plan is here to bring up about, I would say it's like three Mad Lib situations and one question. So it's going to be blank this scenario. So there's a ton of Packers. Obviously, you can pick from the draft class if you really got savvy. I don't know if you did this. I don't think Riley did, or excuse me, I don't think Eli did either. But like, you could have gone with an undrafted guy. I think that'd be kind of crazy. Depending on the question, it might work for there. I'm not going to say whether or not I did that, because I think there's plenty of dudes that were actually selected in the draft to do that. But I think there's a ton to go through here. And just so people have a little bit more of a context, let's just start, because they're probably like, what the hell is Matt talking about? And what did he concoct in his brain? So the first one here, Janelle, is blank rookie will be a day one starter on the week one depth chart versus the Minnesota Vikings. And I think there's a many, many players you could select for this spot. Obviously, the two defensive dudes that were drafted, Devontae Wyatt, Walker, especially too, he could be one that's in there. I think some of the offensive linemen definitely can make their case. And I think there's a couple players just throughout that definitely can make their argument. So I'm going to start with you, Janelle. You give us who your rookie player who will be a week one starter in Minnesota, your rival, you're in enemy territory. I assume you have a good pulse on who would be the week one starter. I don't know why you'd have a good pulse on it, but let's start with you.
Yeah, just because, you know, I'm located here. I obviously know everything that's going to happen that week one.
Yep,
you know,
exactly.
Just that natural intuition. But no, you actually did mention the guy that I picked to be my day one starter. during that week one game versus Minnesota. And I did say Devontae Wyatt. I just felt, looking at position wise, like his was the one where I felt he has the best chance to work into a starter spot. Obviously, like, it could have been easy to say, oh, Christian Watson will be ready to go by week one. But I do think that, you know, there's still some depth in that wide receiver room where he might not get those starter reps right away. There's just something about looking at the depth chart where Devontae Wyatt sits and thinking, you know, there's a chance that he can actually make a case for himself. So that's just kind of the vibe that I got from it. I mean, obviously, we haven't seen much from that. You know, OTs are just starting up, so we're just kind of starting to now get a feel for what these guys can bring. And when we pick these, like you said, we picked these guys like 3 weeks ago. So we're just kind of like, we picked these more blindly. And now we're talking about a little bit more with overtime. We'll get a little bit more context. But yeah, there was just something about him. I just looking at everything, I was like, okay, he could actually battle for a position here. So he's just kind of somebody who I just kind of went with my gut on that one.
Absolutely. I think that's a great one because, you know, I personally, I don't know about you, and I can't speak for Eli, but I feel like I've been clamoring for years for them to get someone like Devontae Wyatt next to Kenny Clark, and they finally did that. Now, this does coincide with them, you know, having signed Jaron Reed early in the offseason coming over from Kansas City. They obviously drafted the absolute mammoth human being, TJ Slayton, and the fifth round last year from Florida. But more than likely, you would think a first-round guy like Devon Wyatt is going to, you know, he's going to get some reps. And I think that's a really, really safe, not even safe. I think that's a really smart selection by you. I think there's a ton of other guys we could go with. I'm going to set up here. Eli went with Zach Tom. I think that's another, you know,
Eli is all about Zach Tom right now. I've noticed. He's the guy typing up.
It's funny you say that because like you mentioned, like we had this kind of plan for a couple weeks. I think it still lives. It's still timely. But I did I was listening to Andy on the Pack-A-Day podcast, just on the video version on YouTube. And like, he was really, really high on Zach Tom. And then I've seen some tweets from Jacob Westendorf. I've seen some other stuff. And it's like, he could absolutely compete for one of those left guard spots. And maybe it's because he is so talented, but realistically, like you gotta kind of look at, like, you know, Royce Newman's there, John Runyon, Elton's still coming back from an injury. Like, there's still some opportunities there to be had. And I don't think it's that crazy. I didn't know Eli was such a big Zach Tom guy. I will keep that in mind and obviously use that information, you know, when it's most appropriate, and maybe either harass him when Zach Tom has a bad play or something along those lines. But realistically, I don't think it's that crazy. It's a little bit more aggressive than the Wyatt pick or the Walker pick possibly could be, but I don't hate it. And I think
Eli never goes with the safe pick,
which is fine.
He likes to stir things up for us.
And I'm with that because, like, it's like, why not? It's the end of May. Like, you can sit and be right for the next like 3+ months, like sit in your wallows and just be like, yep, I'm right. I'm right. I'm right. And like, they don't take any reps the first preseason game. You're like, yep, they're the starter. Like, it's fine. Like, you can let it ride. So I'm going to go with one a little bit more obvious. You kind of said mine earlier too, Janelle. And I'm going to argue my point at 1.2 here. So I'm going to go with Christian Watson. The more and more I look at this, like, this receiver room is just, It terrifies me from the standpoint of, don't really know how much Randall Cobb's got left in the tank. Obviously, he had some injuries last year. He battled through. Alan Lazard, love the guy. He's not a number one, in my opinion, as much volume as he's probably going to take on this year. I don't see him as a number one. He's a safe number two. Sammy Watkins, unsure of what he will do. I mean, truthfully, I don't know what to expect. I mean, the name is an absolute slam dunk, but when you look at it and like his productivity and sometimes, especially the injuries, it's like, I'm concerned. So overall, I'm going to go with Christian Watson. I think he's a very safe bet. He's going to fill in for MVS. And that's truthfully where you're going to see him probably make his biggest strides right away, is those deep balls, stretching the field quite a bit. And the one argument I will have there, and it's a pretty sound one, and there's a lot of data to back this up, is with Aaron Rodgers, with young receivers, you have to earn that trust. And I don't know if he's going to earn that trust with Aaron selfishly stepping out of the OTAs this offseason. So it's like, there's going to be some chemistry that's not there right away. Maybe that'll develop in the preseason, but it's like, well, Rodgers barely plays in the preseason. Depending how good Christian Watson is, he might not. So like, I could easily see Christian Watson not getting a ton of snaps right away, having to roll him out, but like, just straight necessity and straight line speed, I think he's going to just end up being that number two, number three receiver, like without a doubt. So I could go either way on any of these guys we've mentioned. Obviously, the odd man out here is Quay Walker, which is kind of silly that we didn't mention him. But ultimately, yeah, we don't really know what the defense is going to look like. Like, it's kind of shifting around. They've added some secondary guys. We're not sure what it's going to look like with Joe Barry. There's been talks of the star position. So, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of strange. I don't really know what's going to the defense is going to look like. All I know is they've acquired a buttload of super solid defensive
players. Yeah, it's like, all we know is that this defense is stacked. Mm-hmm. And it's like a good problem to have, where it's like, we don't know which guy is going to come in, which, like, speaking of which, like, Tyler Lancaster, where'd he go today? Was, where'd he go?
Let me look.
I'm drawing a blank.
No, let me look. I'm pulling it up. Tyler Lancaster, you're talking, so he signed with the Raiders today.
Raiders, that was it. I was like, I know I saw his name floating around. So it's like, that's an open spot for somebody to come in and, you know, we're going to start to see some of those moves. And, but yeah, I mean, this defense, it's, you know, we're kind of still, we have a lot of question marks about this offense, but it's like, this defense is just going to be full throttle. I expect nothing less. Like, I really think that this has the potential to be one of the best defenses in the last, you know, in, like, since the beginning of Rodgers, like, since around the Super Bowl era, basically.
I think that's extremely sound take, and especially because it's like a younger defense too. There's not a lot of like super old dudes. Like, you don't have the Julius Peppers or the Charles Woodsons. Like, you're having some absolute young studs. You know, Devondre Campbell, a little bit longer in the tooth, but nothing extreme. Preston Smith in the same vein. But like, dude, some of these guys on this defense are gonna be crazy. Like,
you just locked up Jair.
The secondary solid. It's like, ultimately, like, it's just what a tough decision to have to find your best 11 guys. And then it's fun because you can, you know, play to personnel. So I think there's definitely going to be some starters going on the defense, and offense probably the same with offensive line and receiver, like we mentioned. So let's get to the next one, Janelle. I think hopefully people listening are getting a little bit of flow what we're trying to do here. The second Mad Lib superlative, if you will, is this rookie has the best chance to lead the team in blank statistical category by the end of the year. So this one is a double whammy. You definitely can get creative on this one. I think there's a ton of things that could possibly pop up on this one. I for sure could see a certain position leading the pack, especially just off some arguments I had. I guess I'll segue to you, Janelle, and who are your thoughts on this rookie player who could lead a team in any statistical category, really?
So my Mad Lib for question two, I said Christian Watson has the best chance to lead the team in yards after catch by the end of the year. I just felt like, you know, he's the type of receiver who he is going to get those extra yards. He's going to utilize that speed. So even if he is kind of used on a short slant, you know, he's going to find ways to make his way down the field. And I think that, especially, you know, you got guys like Alan Lazard blocking for him. So I think that that's just something I saw, you know. There's a lot of potential for Christian Watson to get all those extra yards. Like, he could be a deep threat. We don't really know yet, but I just see him being that guy who, with that speed, he just seems like he'd be slippery and he'd be able to find a way to get extra yards down the field. So going to be my bold prediction here.
You know, it's funny, like, and I kind of gassed you up in the beginning of this episode, but when I was going through our Twitter DMs here and copy and pasting these just in the doc to see him, I saw that one pop up, and I was just copy and pasting so fast. I saw that answer and I was like, wow, that was a really good answer from Eli. Like, for some reason, I thought he put that on there, but that's like a super solid answer, because like, they are missing that guy, right? The yards after catch dude being MVS, Christian Watson, really good at that at North Dakota State doing that. So it's like, it seems like an easy transition. And, you know, to kind of just put my two cents in here on this offense this year, I really, really think the Packers are going to rely on more of the ball control running game to be able to open up those deep shots downfield to Christian Watson. They don't have, you know, the luxury of being able to just, oh, shoot, it's 3rd and 6. 17's out there. He's going to put a move on a guy and we're going to get a first down. Like, they're going to really have to play some ground and pound football. And I think that's really going to benefit Christian Watson to not have to know the whole playbook, but like, if you can run fast and get past some guys, like, I think that's a super solid answer. Well done. Absolutely.
I guess I should take it as a compliment that you thought it was coming from Eli.
possibly. No.
Possibly.
So Eli went with also the same player, Christian Watson, I think is a very fair player to keep continuing in there. And he just went, instead of yards after catch or even yards or catches, he went with touchdowns. So I've been going through this week, not to toot my own horn, but like, super bored. on the Twitter timeline, just putting out, I put out a poll, like, who's going to lead the team in stats, like statistics overall, as far as receivers go. Kind of went through it in my head and did some predictions as well. I think it's a pretty, I mean, this is like a really realistic, I think, guess from Eli, is like the touchdowns things, because I think really, like, if you get 7 or 8 receiving touchdowns in this offense, I think that brings it home. Like, if you can get up to 9 or 10, like, that's an absolute smash. And as a rookie receiver, that'd be ridiculous. But, like, who's going to catch more passes? Like, who, I mean, is Lazard going to score a ton of touchdowns all of a sudden?
Right. Sammy, you take Davante Adams out of the equation, and now it's kind of a fair playing field for this wide receiver class. So for this group, I mean, it's not, there's not one set, all right, Davante Adams is going to get 90%, and then the rest of you split the 10% that's left. We have no idea, and it could go game by game. It could be a Lazard day. It could be a Cobb day. It could be a Watson day. It could be a tight end day. Like, we have no idea. So I think that that's what makes this fun, is that, yeah, if Christian Watson were to get 8 touchdowns, there's a possibility that he could still lead.
100%.
Just because it could be so spread out. And, I mean, we don't even really know what the tight end room is going to look like going into the season. They could still pick up some wide receivers. I mean, A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones are arguably one of the best running back tandems in the league right now, and they can also catch passes. So there's going to be a lot of different ways that guys are going to be utilized on this offense. So, yeah, the way that you put it, you know, he could have significantly less touchdowns than what Davante Adams usually gets and still be a leader in that category, which is crazy to think about, but it's also, you know, it kind of makes it fun.
Something I wish I would actually act on right now and put a reminder out for myself, but I won't because it's not that important, would be to, like, check back at the end of the year and see how many guys for the Packers scored a touchdown, because I think it's going to be spread out so much now with Davante Adams out of the mix, and there's so much volatility at the receiver position, the tight end position, that is still an absolute question mark. There could be a ton of guys catching balls there just because out of, you know, guys being injured, Tonyan, then coming back, maybe he gets in the mix. Like, I think it's going to be spread out a ton, and I would be absolutely shocked if someone got the double-digit touchdowns this year. It would just be, it just doesn't seem like something that's going to happen. And I keep looking at it more and more and more and try to wrap my mind around it. I just don't foresee it happening. So ultimately, you and Eli both agree that Christian Watson, just like I did, I said he's going to be a day one starter. You guys think he's going to lead the team in touchdowns and possibly yards after catch, which I think is an absolutely possible thing that's going to happen, because he's that dude, and they went and got him, and he's essentially, I mean, can't fill the shoes of Davante Adams right away, but he's definitely the replacement as the number one receiver going forward. So, Janelle, we moved to the third one. So we went day one starter. We went, you know, the rookie to lead a team in a statistical category, whatever that may be. Something a little bit more, you know, just off the wall I kind of want to go with. Like, it's tough because a lot of rookies sometimes play special teams, their offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and it takes a lot of, you know, discipline to come into the league from college football. And sometimes, you know, just the speed of the game can get ahead of you, and you make mistakes, right? So the third one I went with is this rookie will be the first rookie to receive a 15-yard personal foul penalty. And having read this, I was like, what? I must have been a little aggressive in my mind that day typing this, because I'm like, it could have been just a regular penalty, a 15-yarder, but I specifically
went with the personal foul, 15-yard, out of the gates, who's gonna do it?
Yep. Gene Steratore really, really emphasizing, you know, the personal foul and all that at midfield. So we'll start with you, Janelle. I mean, there's a ton of guys to pick from. I think this is where we're going to get a little bit more obscure with the names. I just have a feeling, unless it's a couple of the starters that we possibly mentioned. But who is your first rookie to get a 15-yard personal foul penalty in this 2022 season?
Well, this one was basically just pure gut feeling.
Okay.
You know, I went, like, you know, not to stereotype, but I went more defense because those guys seem to be the ones that draw more penalties. I don't really see, you know, Christian Watson or Romeo Doubs out there, like, throwing hands and drawing penalties against defensemen. So I went with the defensive side, and then I kind of just went with guys that, you know, kind of play a little bit more aggressively. So of course I look at the line. So I went with linebacker Kingsley and Agbar. I just, there was something about it. I was like, you know, this is the guy, this is who I'm picking. He's going to be the one who does it. And I have no reason other than the fact that that's just what my gut was telling me. I wanted to get a little bit out there, you know, with the pick, but
No, I like it. I'm actually going to pivot a little bit here and not go with Eli's answer just to kind of piggyback off you. I went with Tariq Carpenter. Now, I look at it, it's like super fast dude, kind of that hybrid, almost like Oren Burks situation where it's like he can play safety, he can play linebacker. But I don't know about you, but I was thinking like special teams. I'm thinking like Tariq Carpenter is going to be flying down, trying to bust open something on a punt, on a kick, and just a helmet-to-helmet contact, 15-yard penalty. I don't know when you were going to think Inagbare was going to get in there. If it
probably
was
some stupid, like, you know, roughing the passer.
Sure.
Stuff like that. Well, you know, quotations around roughing the passer.
Okay.
But,
yes.
You know, a young guy, like season open quarterback, doesn't really know what to pull back the way the NFL wants them to.
Yeah.
Takes out Kirk Cousins and draws a penalty.
100%. And I think it's a couple ways. One, it's like we said, defensive person makes more sense. I mean, you could make an argument about an offensive lineman getting a penalty.
I was going to say, did Eli pick Zach Tom? Like, because that would have been a really obscure pick to just, you know, you never know. But
to get a 15-yard penalty as an offensive lineman seems crazy. Like, you got to be like.
That would be wild. You know, if Zach Tom goes out there and gets a 15-yard flagrant penalty like that, then, you know, more power to him because it doesn't happen too often on the line.
Right. So I think
I'm getting an earful from Bakhtiari about it.
Hell yeah. Like, so I'm going with Tariq Carpenter on a special teams play, helmet to helmet contact. You're going with Inagbare on a rough in the passer in quotations. And I think it makes sense because like defensive guys more likely to probably make a penalty, obviously, besides the offensive lineman that we mentioned. But like these guys are gonna be fighting for roster spots too, right? If they're given the opportunity, right, they're gonna want to put absolute effort forth to shine. They aren't the first round overall pick, or you know, the first round pick with Wyatt and Walker, the Georgia teammates. Like they're gonna have to make their name somehow, and if it's on special teams or if it's on a, you know, rushing down. Like I think Inagbare actually has a chance to do that. More power to them to put their effort forward, but you know, mistakes are gonna be made. So we'll go with Eli's here. He has Devontae Wyatt roughing the passer. Nothing more than that. Just it probably makes sense, right? He's going to be on the field more than likely. You think he's going to be a day one starter? I think that's an absolute, probably not a foregone conclusion, but very, very highly probable.
So him and I went with the same penalty.
You went with the same penalty, which there's not that many to go from. Like we could have gone with a defensive pass interference, but there's not that many like safeties or cornerbacks, or it's like, I mean, you could have maybe gone with like a, you know, Walker maybe with a defensive, you know, pass interference
like dropping into coverage and...
Yeah, but even then it's like, I don't know, it just makes more sense that it would be like a rough in the pass or some sort of contact thing, and especially with the way the league's been going, right, with the trends and just the way they're protecting players a little bit more, it seems like kind of obvious that it'd be something.
I mean, the
like
league
that
is going to be looking for their next Clay Matthews. They gotta find their bully right there.
Yes. So the last one we have here, Janelle, is number 4, and it's not a Mad Lib. It's actually I crowdsourced this one from a friend of mine named Damon, a big Packers fan. He's very he knows this very well about himself. He always likes to throw out any just strange text to me about like sports. So it could be like, who would you like, and it's like draft stuff. It'd be like, do you think a team could have the 15th overall quarterback, like overall, just like within the league of 32, and then like have like the best defense and, you know, go to an NFC championship game. And he just like throws this stuff out. And so I crowded it out to him. I'm like, hey, give me something here. I'm coming up with this topic for Packaday. What do you got here? So he spent a little time on it. I think he came back maybe a couple hours later and he said, all right, who wins this battle between the rookies? Quay Walker, total sacks and tackles. So his combination total of sacks and tackles for the year, or Christian Watson, who we've already talked about, his touchdowns and catches. Now, I'm going to break this down a little bit just to kind of feed it to the people. So Christian Watson, in my eyes, probably somewhere between 5 to 10 touchdowns this year and probably on the low end, 45, maybe up to 70 grabs. So we're looking at the high end, about 80 total points, if you will, down all the way to about 50. And if you look at like Quay Walker, I mean, granted, Devondre Campbell's going to be playing in front of him, but like, I think, I mean, if he gets a couple sacks, it doesn't really do a whole hell of a lot, but I think it's the tackles that he's going to be able to rack up. Like, can he get 80 tackles? I mean, if I was really, really prepared for this, I would go through and like leader of linebackers, you know, the first round picks. And, you know, I know Patrick Queen's, Devin White, Devin Bush, like those guys have probably racked up a ton of tackles in their first year. But I think just where the bar is set for Christian Watson. We've already talked about the volume, how it's going to be spread out. It's not going to be a one-for-one statistical trade with Devontae Adams. So, like, I guess I'm trying to serve it up to you kind of objectively, but who do you have in this this scenario?
Yeah, so I – you know, I did kind of go back and forth with this. I was just kind of trying to think, like, who do I think is going to see more playing time and be on the field more and be more of a contribution? And to me, I just thought, you know, Christian Watson has an opportunity to be, you know, like a number two wide receiver for this team, you know, getting damn near, you know, wide receiver one reps possibly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not right away, but it's something that I could see him potentially moving into a spot like that throughout the season. So I just felt like, to me, he's somebody who's going to be on the field more, going to have more opportunities. Quay Walker, I think he'll see playing time, but it's also hard to, you know, obviously it's hard to sack a quarterback and get that stat. I feel like it might be... I would say it's harder to get a sack than it is to score a touchdown, especially when Aaron Rodgers is as good as he is. It helps Christian Watson's game a lot more, where Quay Walker, a lot of it is just, you know, on him getting through the guys, and it'll be different for him, obviously, trying to go up against NFL linemen versus college linemen, so... I think that, you know, they'll both have good years, I'd say, but I just think that Christian Watson has more opportunity to help out his side of the ball. So I went with Christian Watson for this one.
I love that. So a couple things here. One, Christian Watson's job is to catch the ball and score touchdowns.
Yep.
Duh. Wow. Very, very high intellect statement here.
Really figured out, like, we finally cracked the code on what a wide receiver's job is.
Devontae Wyatt, however, is more of a run filler, pass coverage. I guess his third or even fourth role is to pass rush as inside linebacker. Mm-hmm. Be that as it may, I think, you know, side by side, I would imagine Watson will have more sacks than Devontae Wyatt. Quickly, because, you know, I'm sitting in front of a computer. I did go and look up, like, you know, inside linebackers that have had a ton of sacks in a season. Micah Parsons was one last year. Now, they did kind of pivot him a little bit in his role, you know, throughout that year. He ended up having 13, which is crazy. I'm looking at other inside linebackers. I think Peter Boulware, 1997, like Ravens. I remember that dude out of Florida State. Like, I think he was an inside backer. On the high end, you're going to get like 10. And like, this is like, I mean, we're talking like some of these names on here, just absolute insane. Like Carl Lawson, DeMarcus Ware. Like, I just don't think that's going to happen for him. Like, it's just not going to happen. Like,
right.
And these are mostly outside linebackers too. Like, this is skewed because it's not just inside. Like Brian Urlacher's on here. And I think he had, what do you have? 8. Like, that's just like, so I'm going to say I'll give at the very, very most why I'll have 5. And I'll say, even if Lazard has 5, I still think it's easier for Wyatt to rack up tackles than it is for the receptions. We've been talking about how the ball's going to be spread out.
Go
ahead.
Was it for Walker?
Walker. Yeah, I probably said Wyatt. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So for Quay Walker to accumulate. So ultimately, it didn't really work out how I was going to lay this out here. But I think it's easier for Walker to probably, you know, accumulate tackles than it is for Christian Watson to accumulate receptions and touchdowns. Be that as it may, weird question. Not really sure what of any validity there is in this, because
this,
you know,
is definitely one though we'll have to come back to and see.
We can do that,
like, at the end of the season, how did it pan out, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously it's fun to look back at these ones, but that one, like, this one, it took some contemplating, especially because, you know, there's such different positions. You know, offense, defense, you know, just, you know, complete opposite ends of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to go back and see kind of how it panned out.
Hell yeah. No, I totally agree with you. And it's super, we have no idea, because, you know, truthfully too, like, Quay Walker didn't get a ton of reps when he was in Georgia. Like, he wasn't a huge, I mean, he was a good football player there, but like, that team was just so damn great on the defensive side, and that showed in the draft class, that a ton of guys selected there. Like, maybe he's not built for 16 games. Maybe he breaks down. Christian Watson, you can make the same argument. Like, maybe he's not, you know, maybe he's not going to catch up to the playbook right away. He's not going to get Aaron Rodgers' blessing right off the rip. So it's like, who knows the volatility there? And then it's like either side of the ball, we're still waiting to see where the pass catchers, you know, shake out, what the depth chart looks like for receiver, what that defense looks like. Like we said, there's a ton of talent, but they only can get 11 guys on the field. Like, who knows? Like, just a super, like, yeah, you could go back and forth on it. I think you could argue the point on either side in a really, really reasonable way. But you know, this is what we do, Janelle, the week of Memorial Day weekend. There's not really much else to discuss when it comes to the Packers. You mentioned Tyler Lancaster signing.
I think the only other news that I saw is everybody but Christian Watson from the draft class has been signed.
That's good. That's a great, yep. That's a great problem to have. Like, it's one more guy to bring in. I'm sure he's looking for, I don't know what he's waiting on, but I mean, I'm sure he'll get signed in place. And maybe there's other receivers that haven't signed yet around the league from the draft class that can kind of impact it once in a while. And he probably knows that he's going to be relied on as the number one receiver and wants to make sure that, you know, things are in place for him to make sure he's taken care of and, you know, everything else along those ways. So, yep. Janelle, it's been a blast finally connecting with you again through.
Yeah. I haven't recorded Packaday since before. Like, well before the draft, so it's been tough for me.
I was thinking we got one in after the draft, but you're absolutely right. We haven't got one in, so it's been a long, long journey, and it's good to be back in action here, and I think we'll get our footing here once this our softball and our baseball season comes to an end and be able to be, you know, prioritize the Packaday content a little bit more. But be that as it may, one final thing I do want to mention here, Janelle, and it just seems appropriate to me tonight as I was driving home, is just like, you know, people could listen to Packaday podcasts whenever they want to. And I know things in this world at times are, you know, pretty somber, and it's the summer always seems to bring some really shitty situations on. So hopefully whenever people are listening to the Packaday podcast, whether it's on Saturday, Monday, listening for 10 minutes while you're, you know, walking the dog or whatever it is, it may hopefully bring some people some joy in this world that seems to just never be able to figure some shit out. So it's a situation we live in, but ultimately it's fun to be able to connect with people and have a common denominator, that being the Green Bay Packers and football. So always a pleasure. But obviously, if you guys are still tuned into Packaday podcast right now, make sure you like, subscribe, comment. If you haven't done that already, I don't know what to tell you, but please do that. We would appreciate it very, very much, especially Andy Herman, our boss here. He holds it down for us. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube yet, you are absolutely screwing up. I think I gathered so much information post-draft from all those recaps that Andy did on there. It was fantastic. And I know Jacob, a ton of other people have been helping out on the pack, on the YouTube side, because Andy's been on a hiatus on like a bender, just a summer bender, very responsibly, of course, but he's been out traveling and, you know, he works his ass off. So he definitely deserves that. And obviously follow Packaday Podcast on Twitter. That's where all the tweets, where you can find all the podcasts, all the interactions there. We'd love to interact with people that have questions or any thoughts, especially people on these four questions we had. I'll definitely be tweeting out for my own account because I want to see what people's thoughts are. And I'm sure people have some wild things to throw out there. Janelle, where can everyone find you on Twitter, and what have you been up to, I guess, recently?
Yeah, so you can find all my work at BigMac_4 on Twitter. That's where most of my stuff is right now, obviously. Dead Zone, we took a little bit of a break for open book, but we should be back with that next week on Wednesdays, I think. We're switching days up. But yeah, I mean, it's playoff hockey. That is where, like, I have softball and I've got hockey, and this is one of the best times of the year for me because, you know, I am a sucker for the playoff hockey. It's like my Christmas that lasts months and months. And obviously my first round exit from the Wild, classic heartbreak. I will eventually get over it. But yeah, I mean, if you're into hockey, the four of you that might be that are listening to this right now, that is what I am prioritizing right now, especially because, you know, there's not a lot going on with Packers stuff, and it's kind of convenient the way that, you know, hockey will end, Packers stuff will pick up, and I just have no off season, and I absolutely love it.
Because I care a ton, and I know that Dan Kotnick's listening to this podcast because he very much loves support us.
Bruins are out.
Well, I was just going to say, who's winning the Stanley Cup? Do we have a definitive answer? Is it pretty even right now?
I mean, it's really easy to say, like, oh, the Avalanche are going to go win it. Yeah. But hockey's weird, you know? It doesn't matter if you're the wild card seed or the number one seed. Once you make those playoffs, it gets weird. Anything can happen. I mean, Oilers tonight could knock out the number one seed in their division in a 4-1 series win. So, I mean, the Avalanche, they're playing the Blues right now, and Blues play tough, but I don't root for the Avalanche ever, but I will root for them over the Blues. The Avs are just such a complete team that it's really hard to say, you know, that to say that they're not going to be the ones to go win it, but the Lightning just swept the number one seed on that side. So Lightning are looking to three-peat at this point, Pat Maroon four-peat, which would, you know, if Pat Maroon four-peats, it would, you know, Florida Pat Maroon is absolutely insane. And I don't know if the world could handle it, but it would be super fun. But at this point, I mean, I think a Lightning Avalanche Stanley Cup Finals could be possible, but I like the rivalry between the American teams and the Canadian teams, but I would be okay with Canada finally getting the cup back if it meant Connor McDavid lifting it.
Deal. I think I forgot about the Avalanche, and I know they've been doing really well, so that's the team I'll stick with, but I don't know shit about shit when it comes to hockey.
They're playing tomorrow, but
okay. I mean, yeah, we're in full, I don't know. It's tough to really be focused on the Packers right now when it comes down to like the summer. You want to do other stuff, but whatever.
I know a lot of people they're baseball focused, they're basketball focused. If you're me, you're hockey focused. But like I said, like as this wraps up, then football really starts to get going.
Definitely.
And it's exciting. Do you watch, like, are you heavily invested in any of the, like, the other sports right now that are going on?
Nope. I haven't watched a playoff basketball game in like 3 weeks. I rarely, if ever, will watch a Major League Baseball game because I think it's not that great of a product on television. In person, it's not bad. Oh, college baseball if it's on, but I try to get outside as much as possible during the summer because I absolutely hate the winter and all I do is watch the Packers. So also make sure you guys are following Eli Berkovitz, obviously our third partner here at Book of Eli_NFL. He will continuously be with us and always bring his hot takes for Janelle to be absolutely miffed by. Yep. Make sure, if you haven't followed me on Twitter, feel free to do so as well. It's at @Matt_Frey_. That's at @MATT_FRA_. I will also be tweeting out some of these superlatives that we put out. I want to look and see everyone's answers. I'm sure Janelle and I will have some back and forth with some people in the mentions this weekend because I'd love to hear what people have to say. I think there's a lot of different ways people could go on this. I'm sure there's the common ones, like we said, Walker, Wyatt, Watson will get in there. But ultimately, I think it'll be interesting to see how things shake out. But for Eli Berkovitz, who couldn't join us, Janelle Mackey, I am Matt Frelick. You guys take care. Be well. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. And as always,
go Pack Go.